Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
And those standards are, there's a line, and I'm not going to cross the Morgan Wallen line.
It's not going to happen. Look, Matt Jones is never going to hire you for slandering his cousin.
I don't want Matt Jones to hire me.
That's true. Yep. You're done. Yeah, you're done.
This myth, this fantasy that I'm just like on my computer like this, Steve, going,
yeah,
typing away, saying,
no, I can see it.
Crawling in Matt Jones's DMs, give me a job. It's not true.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Oh, that's great. But I have to admit, I just looked at the sound sheet for today, and I laughed at the very first one, Mitch. It made me smile. The very first sound you have on here, it's a Brian Hall sound. And we're going to play that very soon because I can't wait to hear this. All right. Louisville City FC on ESPN Louisville. It's your home radio for Louisville City FC. The boys in purple are back in action tomorrow. Lou City FC at FC Tulsa, 7:45 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7 and the ESPN Louisville app. And don't forget to catch Soccer City on Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. That was last night. So they're out of town, but if you want to listen to the game, this is the spot to do it. Also, if you want to catch that hot Reds action, they lost last night, Mitch. They finally dropped a game. How about that?
Bullpen blew it.
They blew it. All the Reds.
All here whining. Our bullpen. Oh. You guys think you're going to win the Central?
I mean, I'm telling you, last night the whole thing was, if we get a bullpen during the trade before the trade deadline,
I hear that every single year.
Watch out, the bullpen's coming. But if you want to hear the Reds tonight, Reds at Padres 9:40 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7, and then Father's Day Sunday, Reds at Padres 3:40 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. And last but not least, as far as programming is concerned, ESPN Louisville is your home for the NBA playoffs, including the NBA playoffs. Including the NBA Finals, I'm sorry. Our next broadcast is tonight, 76ers at Hawks. That's 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. And then Saturday, Game 7, Bucks and Nets, 8 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Sunday to be announced. Now, when is...
It's a big NBA night.
It's a very big NBA night. Now, Donnie's not on here. So is Donnie not going to be on the radio? I know they play tonight.
We just take whatever game ESPN offers.
We take whatever they give us. Yeah. Okay, so
there's no malicious content.
I didn't think so. I just want to make sure. Live play-by-play of the NBA playoffs.
They change it all the time. It's hell to keep up with.
Oh,
so,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But live play-by-play of the NBA playoffs on ESPN Louisville is presented by Barino's Pizza, UPS Jobs, and U of L Health. Now, Mitch, are you going to be locked in to Donnie in LA tonight?
I will be watching tonight.
You got any money on that?
We're gonna see what the official, because I believe the latest update Woj put out, you know, around noon, that Donovan Mitchell was leaning towards being a game time decision.
Uh-oh.
And Mike Conley was leaning towards making his return to the lineup tonight. So once I know kind of who's going to play tonight, we'll put that bet in.
Okay. So there's...
Because, I mean, if the Jazz will have Donovan Mitchell...
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Because they don't have anybody that can counter Paul George. I know all the jokes. Playoff P, pandemic P. I mean, he put Donnie to work the other night. So he had, 37 in that game. Depending on taking the team on his back. But, yeah, I saw that Woj tweet as well where Mike Conley might play, Donovan Mitchell might not play, which is not good for anybody as far as trying to figure out what the money line is.
And the Clippers are underdogs tonight. I mean, Vegas Vegas thinks the Jazz are going to force a game seven, so we'll see.
We'll find out. Speaking of our guy Donnie, let's go ahead. I want to play this.
Okay. Now, let me preface this by saying – I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I just know you would just enjoy this. Like, I have no idea the context.
I can't wait. I just saw that. All I'm going to say is it's about Donovan Mitchell and an assistant coach on the U of L basketball team.
I'm just skipping through Maven and Rummage. It was Maven and Brian today because Rummage is in Vegas. I was just skipping through Maven and Brian today. And I just stumbled upon this. And I knew you would enjoy it. And, yeah, so I don't know what the context is. I'm sorry.
We don't need to know the context.
Don't get mad at me. But, yeah, here we go.
I didn't even make the league, you know what I'm saying, or I didn't stick yet. Y'all are going to have to play a lot better than me just to get anywhere near the dreams y'all want to accomplished.
So, just wait another month and a half, and after Donovan Mitchell wins the NBA Finals, and he's back there working out with Ross McMaines.
Listen. Oh,
that hurt. Biscuit, did you hear that? Play it one more time for our guy, Biggest Biscuit.
I didn't even make the league, you know what I'm saying, or I didn't stick yet. Y'all are going to have to play a lot better than me just to, you know, just to get anywhere near the dreams y'all want to accomplish. So,
just wait another month and a half, and after Donovan Mitchell wins the NBA Finals, and he's back there working out with Ross McMaines.
Listen.
What am I supposed to do with that? Biscuit, what am I supposed to do with that, Dave? I gotta do me things right now.
I mean, that sounded completely reasonable to me. I know what you're talking about.
No one knows who Ross McMaines is. Nobody knows. What is he known for? Dribbling a basketball and hitting lights on a wall, and being in New Zealand. But once he gets a hold of Donnie, stratosphere, straight to the moon. I'm sorry. I had to, Dave. I had to. I apologize to Biggest Biscuit.
He said don't apologize.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Enjoy. You and Blake have a good show. But, I mean, come on. Brian. He names plays after Harry Potter. And that was verified, by the way. People were like, that's not true, Stribble. You're crazy. And then I found the tweet from State of Louisville where it says he has plays named after Harry Potter subject matter. And he does the dribbling the ball between the
legs. I'm not gonna fight back on this.
I tell you, Mitch. Once Donovan Mitchell gets a hold of the golden snitch play, oh boy, ooh, or if he gets the Ron Weasley special, that play, oh my gosh. And then the Gryffindor goalpost move. I mean. NCAA, you're done. McMaines is here.
I can take a whole summer.
McMaines is here, baby, and he's here to stay. All right, 437-968. Let me read some text real quick before we get to actual real subject matter. But thank you for that sound, Brian Hall. That was fantastic.
We've been super sportsy, by the way, for the first hour, so we need to get to a Father's Day tip sooner or later.
Sure.
Sooner rather than
later. I've got them ready.
Want to do one right now?
Let's do one right now. Right. Hit that imaging, baby.
Hey, Daddy.
This Sunday is Father's Day, and our very own James Strebel, Round Daddy,
what's up, Big Daddy,
explains what dads across the nation should expect on their special day.
You're 22? Oh, okay. Father's Day tips, number one for me, number one in my heart.
This Sunday,
you got to get a little alone time. I think that's paramount to most fathers' wish list. That's number one on the list.
You start with number one.
I'm starting with number one.
We're not building this up at all. You're starting with number one.
I've got other bangers in here, too. Save that one. But, yes, alone time is number one. Now, in my case, you may have a spouse that maybe has to work on Father's Day. So it's important that if that's the case, if you have a spouse that has to work on Father's Day or Father's Day night, she works second shift, third shift, whatever the case may be, make sure to get that in play either before or very soon after Father's Day so you're not left wanting. But that's my number one tip for Father's Day.
Do you put in any effort for this said alone time, or is it just it's just an expectation?
I don't know if it's expected. It's more of like an unspoken agreement. You know what I mean? Like an unspoken agreement like this. Yeah, this is what should happen on Father's Day. So, yeah. But I'm sure many fathers will get that bonus as well this weekend. So, all you dads out there, enjoy Father's Day. I've got more of these, but that is definitely something on your list. And it should be high on your list. And the Hightower Men's Clinic can help you out if you're struggling in that department. So, we'll talk more about them, about 525 Peyronie's disease, erectile dysfunction, the whole nine yards. They can get you cleared with all that. And there's no needles or punctures or anything like that. So it's great. It's a great thing, Hightower Men's Clinic is. All right, 437-9680 before we start getting back into sports. Texter says, yeah, they made the Clippers the underdog so the public would be hesitant to bet them. Let's what that say. Texter says, Father's Day tips. Father's Day. And I didn't read any of those yesterday, Mitch. I saved you from that. So that's what the texter said. Texter says, Strebel, you failed to admit that UK was ranked number one, and it was for top 10 craziest Twitters, and UofL wasn't on it. I didn't see that. I was just going by the rankings from Oklahoma Boomer, whatever the guy's name is, and the most sensitive fans on Twitter. I'm just going with that. And he just went alphabetical, and he had Twitter handles. So that's that. All right.
Let's go right to this take here before we get another U.S. Open update in about 10, 15 minutes or so. They're going to get John Hale right after that. So, Keychoke Clark, University of Louisville football player, one of their better players, obviously, in the defensive backfield, guy returning for another season, expected to have a big season in a U of L defense that was improved last year. And a lot of Louisville fans, including yourself, I believe, Mitch, thinks that this defense is going to be probably the best unit on the team, even better than the offense. They were last year, and you know, unless Malik Cunningham can clear up some of those turnovers and unless some of those wide receivers and running backs can step up and replace Des Fitzpatrick, Tutu Atwell, and Javian Hawkins, I think that the fans for Louisville were pretty confident their defense is going to be pretty good. So while all this name, image, and likeness stuff is floating around out there, we haven't heard a lot from athletes, college athletes. Last night, early this morning at 12:02 a.m., Keytrell Clark, he tweeted the following. According to the NCAA, we will be granted the opportunity to capitalize on our likeness on the college stage. Here pretty soon, us as student athletes are going to be able to brand ourselves and other businesses and companies. Any local companies that want to use my social media or want me to do commercials to brand themselves, my DM is open, okay? And I saw another football player earlier today. I can't remember if it was for Louisville, Kentucky, tweeted almost the exact same thing verbatim word for word. Actually, it might be verbatim word for word there. So what we're seeing now is the NCAA has got an issue. This is happening. This is now happening. Universities are preparing for it. Coaches have prepared for it. And now athletes are taking it upon themselves and saying, you know what? I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to start doing for me. I'm going to start getting that money sooner rather than later. What I'm interested to see, number one, what other athletes are going to follow Clark's trail here and start putting similar messages out to businesses that are local. What I'm also interested to see, Mitch, what are the universities going to do about this? Because right now, there's no legislation, there's no rules, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And you already have athletes trying to capitalize on the name, image, and likeness. So let's say that a local business contacts Keytrell Clark and says, hey, Keytrell Clark, we'll pay you $500 to say, hey, I like this pizza or this cheeseburger or whatever it is. He does it, gets the money. In a month or so, the NCAA comes out and says, actually, stop. You can't do that yet because there aren't any rules in place. Stop. Well, at the same time, you've got Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, California. It's full go. I can foresee this bitch being a complete mess. A complete mess. Not the rule itself. I like the rule. I think if the rule's done right, if you let the universities work it out and the NCAA just sets out some guidelines and just steps back, I think it could be very good for college athletes and college athletics as a whole. But the question is, and the troubling thing is now, there are no rules in place. There's nothing. What if Keytrell Clark puts that tweet out, gets some money, and then in a month, he's stuck. He's stuck in a situation where the NCAA comes and says, no, name, image, and likeness hasn't passed yet in your state. It hasn't passed the NCAA, hasn't passed federally. You can't do that. And how many others are going to do the same thing as Keytrell Clark did? They could have a big, big problem on their hands if you get a vast number of student athletes across the country that decide, you know what, it's happening. I'm going to go ahead and capitalize. I'm going to do this now. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the NCAA is going to do. You can't suspend everybody. You can't vacate everybody. The NCAA needs to act now. They need to figure this out. You got 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks before the states that I just mentioned are full go and student athletes can start earning. John Calipari has Jalen Duren in person next week. He needs to be able to tell that young man, hey, we've got something coming. We're going to be good. You'll be able to capitalize and earn off of your name, your talents, your ability. But right now, we don't have anything. It's fascinating to me. I'm surprised, Mitch, and Andy was a forerunner of this. He talked about this before a lot of people did, about how close it was and how Kentucky and Louisville could be in a bad spot. I'm surprised this hadn't been a bigger story until now. It just seems
like the first time we've heard really anything from the Louisville side of things, too.
Yeah, Kentucky released something yesterday. This is the first sign we've come from. So that leads you to believe, Mitch, that Louisville has an expectation about this name, image, likeness. And he hasn't taken the tweet down. You would expect that if Louisville wasn't looking to go forward with this, they'd be like, hey, Keytrail, could you take that tweet down? We don't have our ducks in a row. We're not ready to go. And that tells me Louisville's ready to go. They're ready to go on this name, image, likeness. Now, Mitch, in your opinion, how worried should fans be that the NCAA is going to come and start smacking people around and saying, no, you can't do that, suspended, vacated, blah, blah, blah? Or do you think it'll be so many that they're not going to be able to do anything about it?
I'm with the latter. I just think there's going to be so many that it's just going to cause an issue to where they're going to have to eventually just pass it.
It's kind of like the transfer market. I mean, yeah. In the last year, the transfer market.
But you're asking to speed up this process a lot faster than what the transfer portal, right? Not the transfer market.
Transfer portal. No, you're right.
But yeah, they're going to have to speed up a lot faster than the transfer portal, because they talked about the transfer portal for years. I feel like this notion of, I mean, yeah, it's always been a thing, name, image, and likeness, but it's really ramped up, I don't know, this summer, really. Yeah. And, you know, and a little bit of last summer as well. So they're going to have to ramp up this process pretty quickly.
If those individual states hadn't moved and put it into law, there would be nothing happening right now with it. Nothing at all. All that would be happening is you'd have Mark Emmert at Congress yelling at Ted Cruz. Or actually, he didn't yell. He just sat there. Ted Cruz yelling at Mark Emmert and, you know, other members of Congress yelling at Mark Emmert about name, image, and likeness. He'll just sit there and say, I don't know. We have a plan. We're going to do it. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. We're going to deduciate everything. It's going to be fine. Yes, Mark Emmert, I make money for doing nothing. That's what would be happening. But Florida, Alabama, and others have put the NCAA on notice saying, you're not doing anything about it, we're going to. We absolutely are going to. And now other athletes, even though they're not in those states, are feeling empowered to start earning on their own. And they absolutely should. I applaud Keytrail Clark. I applaud him for doing what he did and stepping out and saying, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this. I'm not going to sit around. I'm not going to wait for some organization like the NCAA that doesn't know what the hell they're doing half the damn time anyway, and they move slowly on everything. I mean, they were forced with the transfer portal to go ahead and pass that because so many were transferring, and they knew it was going to happen. So last year, Kentucky had Jacob Toppin and Olivier Saar and Joey Gatewood, and they went ahead and they got the pass. Even before the transfer portal legislation was passed at the NCAA, that everyone gets a freebie, they let that happen. They let that happen with a lot of players last year. I have a feeling that this is going to be the exact same thing, that you're going to have so many players that are going to go ahead and say, you know what, hell with it. I'm doing name, image, likeness. Stop me. Just go ahead, stop me. Go ahead, vacate the wins, whatever. Try it. I think they're going to have so many players doing it that they're just going to be hands off and say, okay, go ahead and do it, and then we'll see the rules down the road. But I think they get a jump start on it, and they do it now. All right, texter's saying, there's a lot of text coming in about this. 437-968 UPS jobs text line. Texter says, maybe you may want to know context before insult. Oh, that can't be for me. I don't know. I didn't insult anybody, did I? I don't know who was insulting. I wasn't insulting anybody. I was totally. I'm pro player in this. I'm pro Keytrail Clark in this. Texter says Keytrail needs to slow down. He has nothing I want. IRS is calling. That's from Dana. Thank you, Dana. I don't know if the IRS is going to be calling for Keytrail Clark. And maybe he doesn't have anything that you want, but maybe there are Louisville football fans. There are kids out there that think Keytrail Clark's cool and is an awesome player, and they want to get his autograph. Or you know, a Louisville fan that goes to every single damn game and loves the players and does memorabilia in their basement will want Keytrail Clark's autograph because he's going to be one of the players, the better players on the football team. So, no, I disagree with that. Maybe he doesn't have anything that you want, and maybe you think he needs to slow down. But Keytrail Clark can do whatever the hell he wants. Now, that's going to be up to the NCAA if they want to penalize him if he does start earning money. I mean, I would love, Mitch, I'm fascinated to know if anybody hit back. Like, if any businesses immediately hit back. Because you got to think they're
I'm sure.
There might be some, but do you think that some of these local businesses might be a little hesitant, not knowing
what exactly the fallout could be if they do give some money out.
I mean, how would this affect the businesses? I'm confused.
Well, if you maybe not affect the business, but let's say it's a local business and it's a big time supporter of University of Louisville Athletics, and they give Keetrell Clark $500 to talk nice about their business. And then Keetrell Clark ends up being suspended.
If anyone's getting in trouble, it's the university or Keetrell Clark. I don't think it has to do anything with
absolutely.
The business. So I think it's a win-win situation.
Unless that business gets put on blast. Unless you get people pissed off the business because, like, you're the reason Keetrell Clark's ineligible. You're the one that gave him the money. I mean, you know how people get, Mitch. They get crazy about this stuff. I could totally see if a business gives a player money, you know, not knowing what the ramifications could be, and that player gets in trouble, that business being boycotted. We're going to boycott that business. We're going to boycott Jack's Burger Joint because they gave Keetrell Clark $200. I could totally see that. It could be a mess. It could be awesome. I don't know. But I at least applaud Keetrell Clark for being a front runner on this and trying to get his before the NCAA can step in and mess it up. All right, Texter says, I don't like it. Kentucky's going to lose recruits because some rich guy at Southeastern Niagara State is going to give him $1 million to be on a billboard. I hear Drew Deaner talking about that all the time, about these like billboards. Like there's these businesses don't have like millions of dollars to throw around. A lot of them don't, like car dealerships.
No,
they don't have this mythic amount, like $10,000 to appear on their billboard. They don't have that kind of money at all. I mean, they could do like $500. They could do like maybe $1,000. But these big – and then to put in North Dakota State or whatever it is, it's like, do you think there's a fan of North Dakota State that has $1 million that you want to throw at a player? Because I don't. I think you're looking at Kentucky, Duke, Louisville, Kansas, your big name Power Five programs are going to be the ones to benefit. So I don't buy that idea at all. Same teacher says, not trying to be old school, but at the end of the day, it's free education, and they don't have to carry the financial burden of college debt that could follow them the rest of their life. Like that's fine if you want to think that, but they've got to eat. They have other things they have to, you know, that they have to do, and a lot of them can't get jobs because college sports is a full-time job. I played college sports at a very low level. I didn't have time to have my own job. A lot of those guys are in the same position. A lot of those guys aren't as financially sound as some of the other ones are. I don't know what Keetrell Clark's home situation is like. I have no idea. But a lot of these guys need that extra money, not just for themselves, the free education, but for their families. They may have families at home struggling. So these guys, their talent is carrying the University of Louisville, that's carrying the University of Kentucky, is carrying ESPN, CBS, everything else. They deserve compensation for their work, period, full stop. You can't convince me either way. All right, U.S. Open Golf.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
They were besmirching this man's name. Besmirching his name 1 week ago. Just 1 week ago. And they're saying put some respect on his name? I don't have any words.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, CarMax, they're hiring experienced auto technicians nationwide. Work on the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com. And if you missed The Take or any of the other programs here around ESPN Louisville, you can check those out on the Podcast Center at ESPNLouisville.com, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, subscribe, and review. So check out that podcast. Apparently Mark Blankenbaker was angry once again over the trivia stuff, and he railed a little bit at the beginning of the show over there, The Drive. He's in with Biggest Biscuit and Jack Grossman. Everybody's on vacation or something, as Mitch said at the beginning of the show. We have a skeleton crew working here at the ESPN Louisville Studios. We've got Mitch, we've got Grossman, we've got Blank, we've got Biscuit, myself, and that's about it. So with that, let's bring in Courier Journals,
John Hale. He covers the Cats for the CJ. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever you need, our guy John Hale has. John, happy Friday. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Now, John, you your latest article up on your Twitter page, and that Twitter page, for those of you that want to follow John Hale, he's got a lot of good stuff, a lot of good original content, all of it surrounding the Cats, at @JohnHale_CJ. Go ahead and give him a follow if you haven't already. If you're a Kentucky fan, you're listening, you probably have already given him a follow. But the subject matter of your article, John, is Calipari and his point guard, not problem, but his loaded point guard position. And you discussed that maybe Ty Washington and Sevier Wheeler could play together. So what did the guys have to say about that, and how would that look, do you think, for the Cats?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, at the beginning of April, everybody was in the spot where we were wondering if they were going to have a point guard at all. I mean, I assumed they would get one, but who was it going to be, you know? Devin Askew had transferred. Nolan Hickman had decommitted. Davion Mintz had entered the draft. They didn't have a true point guard at all on the roster. In the span of, 5 days in May, they got Ty Washington and they got Sevier Wheeler.
Yeah.
And the conversation became, how is he going to fix it? Who's going to start in this? I mean, you're not bringing in five-star point guards like Ty Washington, who rejected his lottery picks, one-and-done lottery picks, or the SEC's leading assist, reigning assist leader in Sevier Wheeler. Both those guys, I'm sure, expected to start wherever right. They were going to end up at. So how are they going to handle it? Kentucky has a bunch of guards who can shoot, and you know, Kellen Grady and C.J. Frederick and Dante Allen, all those guys off the ball. So we thought maybe only one point guard spot was open. But, yeah, I just think the more you look at it, the more you look at Cal's history in terms of playing guys like, you know, John Wall and Eric Bledsoe together, or Tyler Ulis and Isaiah Briscoe and Jamal Murray in 2016 together. He likes having multiple ball handlers out there on the court at the same time. And then in talking to Ty and Sevier over the last few weeks at these camps and whatever else, it's clear that that conversation has been had already. Both of them talked about how, you know, the coaches were very upfront in the recruiting process that they were going to add two point guards. They've talked about how they complement each other. Sevier is not a very good shooter. He hasn't been in Georgia. There's right. Some reason to hope he might be better at Kentucky with better players around him, not having to force as many shots. But Ty is a very good three-point shooter. So I think they could easily play together where Sevier would be the main ball handler. He's more of a distribute pass-first kind of point guard anyway. And then Ty would be open for, you know, get some open shots with whoever that third guard is. My pick would probably be Kellen Grady in both situations.
That's what I think as well, yeah.
And then when he has the ball in his hands, he can bring it down the court too. And then it gets, you know, Sevier some open looks, whether it's driving to the basket or, you know, some spot-up jump shots. If he's wide open, he can probably hit those. So I think it works really well together. Then you factor in that, you know, Kellen Grady did play some point guard at Davidson. It's not his primary position by any means. It's not what he was brought here to do, but he could do it in a pinch.
Right.
If Davion Mintz comes back, obviously he played, you know, really well at point guard the final three games. So you have a lot of versatility there to where you wouldn't necessarily worry that if you're playing both of those guys at the same time, then you got to worry about who's going to be the backup and who's going to come in when they need a rest. I think it'll all work itself out. But if I'm picking today, my starting backcourt prediction would be both the point guards and Kellen Grady.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And you mentioned Davion Mintz, John, and that was going to be my next question. Kentucky basketball's Twitter account continues to put out, you know, follow back Friday or follow Friday, and they have this upcoming year's team, all of their Twitter handles, and they continue to add Davion Mintz. We all know that he didn't make the NBA Combine. He didn't make the NBA G League Combine. He's kind of still, I guess, trying to figure out what he wants to do. What kind of wrench would Mintz throw into it if he does decide to return to Kentucky? And would you see any fallout, maybe a transfer or two, if that does happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a situation where you definitely, I think everybody would have to look at their spot and kind of assess what's best for them. It would be interesting from a number of standpoints just because, hey, I mean, Kentucky would love to have him. He'd be such a great piece.
Oh, absolutely.
What he proved last year and all the clutch shots he hit and the fact he can play point guard if needed. I still am pretty skeptical about him coming back because he wouldn't be guaranteed a starting spot at that point, you know, just go make some money overseas or in the G League or wherever. But you're right, they keep acting like he's still a member of the team. When we talked to Cal 3 or 4 weeks ago now, you know, he just multiple times over the course of 30 minutes referred to him as just like a point guard option, just like it was a matter of fact kind of thing. And so They clearly think it's realistic that he might come back. But if he did, I don't know. I mean, obviously, none of the guys they just brought in would transfer out. So you got to feel safe about those guys. That basically just leaves Dante Allen in that court.
That's the one guy, John, that keeps coming back to me. That if there is fallout, he would kind of be the odd man out in that situation.
Yeah, I already think that Dante's path to minutes is not quite as clear as everybody else expects, because, like, if we're talking about the lineups that I'm talking now with, you know, two point guards out there and Kellen at the three, then, you know, C.J. Frederick's going to play quite a bit just based on what he did at Iowa, although I will say he was hurt a lot at Iowa too, so I don't know that you can pencil him in to play 40 games or whatever the season ends up being. But, you know, Allen's going to have to prove. I still think he's going to have to go out and prove that he can defend better than he did last year, that he can do things other than hit jump shots to make sure that he's got a spot in that regular rotation. And if Mintz comes back, it becomes even more difficult. The other part that you got to figure is I think that there's a realistic possibility still that Cal plays some bigger lineups. I know he keeps talking about shooting and the importance of that, and I take him at his word there. But if either Keon Brooks or Jacob Toppin proves that they've made enough progress with their own shot to where they could, you know, hit 30%, 32% of their own three-point attempts out there,
right,
he's going to play those guys at the threesome, just because we know that Cal likes those lineups and he could get one of those guys plus Damian Collins plus Oscar Tshiebwe out there, not even to mention if, you know, the crazy scenario happens where they got Jalen Duren, who, you know, seems to be a possibility to reclassify in the front court. So maybe you could see some shuffling at that three spot too, one of those wing guys. What would they do? I would think that if Dante Allen were going to leave, he would have done it by now. I asked him straight up a couple weeks ago what he thought about Davion coming back, and, you know, obviously it would be fewer minutes, and he said I'd love to have him back just because it'd be great for the team, but mostly I want him to do what's best for his family, what's best for him. And so maybe you read between the lines there or whatever. The timing is going to be really interesting in this conversation, because the deadline to come back from school is July 7th. You mentioned that we know that he's not going to the combine. We know he's not going to the G League combine. So if he was out there waiting for one of those invitations, we know that answer now.
Right.
Maybe he's got some other individual lineups with NBA teams or workouts with NBA teams lined up. We haven't seen any reports of that. You know, his social media profiles, he's been working out with trainers, you know, at various places around the country. But it seems like he's probably got all the data he needs to make his decision by now. So maybe it comes earlier than the 7th. But if it goes down to the deadline to put your name in the transfer portal and be eligible for next season under the new rule is July 1st. There's a scenario where if he doesn't come back till the 7th, then whoever's on the roster is locked in anyway, unless they want to sit out at their next school. So that's going to be interesting timing to begin with. I do think that Dante Allen, being a local guy, being a Kentucky kid, having that tie to the program makes it more likely he would stick around than just, you know, your typical kind of role player in that position. But it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, his trajectory definitely could be more of the Derek Willis, Dominique Hawkins variety, where, you know, they played sparingly their first couple years, but then by their junior and senior years, they were playing heavy, important minutes. You know, especially when you talk about Dominique Hawkins had a few games as a freshman where he played really well. You think of that Sweet 16 game against Louisville where he came in and shut down Russ Smith. And then, you know, he had that breakout game against Louisville again where he hit all those threes. It's like, wow, where'd this come from? Now, Dante's maybe shown a little bit more offensive ability, but I could definitely see that. John Hale with us from the Courier Journal at @John_Hale_CJ if you want to follow him on Twitter. John, speaking of Jalen Duren, are you hearing anything about that visit? Now, is that next week or the week after? No, it's like the last week of June. It's the last full week or the last week period of June?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of specific details now. I think it's all pretty fast moving, quickly moving parts. I mean, regardless of the visit time, he's got to make the decision as to, is he going to reclassify? It seems that that's the more likely than not option, but there's still a lot of work to do.
I don't think they throw that out there. Yeah, I don't think they throw that out there unless they'd already started movement on that process.
Right. And the way these things always work is it's always rumored behind the scenes that this guy's going to reclassify at the end of the summer, and then his AAU team always comes out and says no decision's been made, because if he announces he's reclassified, he can't play in the Peach Jam.
Right.
And so you can't make that official announcement until after Peach Jam. So the AAU team is invested and him remaining a member of the class of 2022 until that point at least, so he can play for them in Teach Jam. And so that's, I wouldn't read too much stock into the denial that came out there. But let's assume he does reclassify. You got to put all that work in. I think Kentucky will be in the running, but I don't think it's a slam dunk by any means that he would come to them. All the scuttlebutt is that Miami is going to be a big player. I know they have a member of their staff who's pretty closely tied to that AAU program.
Those
kind of things are interested. Michigan was getting some buzz behind the scenes for a while, maybe less so now. But, Villanova, he's from Philadelphia, so they're on the list. I mean, and then he's got to decide, are you going to college or are you going to do the professional option?
Right.
Professional option is a realistic, they're going to, if the number that Adam Zagoria threw out there that the G League's already offered him $1 million, that's going to be a serious player.
Right.
The one thing that I think equalizes for college is if name, image, and likeness, the rules get changed this summer, and we all know that's a huge mess right now, but it does look like the NCAA is going to pass their own rule. Even if Congress doesn't, give them the federal law that they want, they're going to have to do something themselves in July. And so if that gets done and he knows that he can come to a program and make some money himself, even if it's not $1 million that he get from the G League, I think that would probably put him over the top and maybe coming to school. And then Kentucky would be as well-positioned as anybody.
Yeah, to make money.
Because we know that you can make your endorsement. If you're going to make money off endorsements as a college athlete, playing for Kentucky basketball is about as good as it gets.
No, absolutely, John. And then yesterday, I know the University of Kentucky kind of put out some information about name, image, likeness, how they're going to handle it, what their goals are in regards to that. And then John Calipari followed that up with a tweet of his own saying how much he supports it and wants it to work out. Last night about 12 a.m., Louisville football player Keetrell Clark put on Twitter, hey, if you want to use my name, image, likeness on social media, reach my DMs, I'm ready to go as far as that's concerned. It feels like, John, that the universities and the players themselves that aren't in the states that have already passed or will pass the law on July 1st are ready to move forward on this. And the timing is very interesting, as you just stated, that Kentucky puts that out a week or 2 weeks from Jalen Duren being on campus. So I like to see that Kentucky's at least taking a proactive stance on this name, image, likeness issue.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot because, they put out that release and it frankly didn't have a ton of details in it. It was
right.
Basically an acknowledgement that, we're aware this is going to happen and we're going to support it and make sure our athletes are positioned.
And they're preparing for it. Exactly. Absolutely. They're preparing for it
right now because they don't know what the details are going to be. In states where the laws are going into effect July 1st, you have much more information about what it's going to look like. Kentucky and all these other states are at the mercy of whatever the NCAA rule is going to be. I was at the athletics board meeting, I guess that was Thursday or Wednesday, a couple hours before they put out that release, and Mitch Barnhart told the board of trustees that they think that, the way to forward on name, image, and likeness is a federal law. They think that's the only way it's going to work. Mm-hmm. But clearly with what's going on in Congress and the hearings right now, that's not going to happen by July 1st. It's not going to happen. And so the NCAA is going to have to act themselves, and there are national reports that they're probably going to pass a rule in the next week or so. Nobody, I assume, is going to be happy with what that rule looks like, and it might end up changing based on what the federal law eventually is. But I think everybody is under the assumption that by the end of the summer, there's going to be some way to take advantage of it at every state, whether it's through a state law or whether it's through the NCAA policy. And they've got to prepare for it right now. We talked to Kellen Grady the other day, and I asked him, how are you all talking about it? Are you being prepped? Have you thought about what you want to endorse? And he said, no, I haven't thought about what I've endorsed, but they've absolutely had those conversations. And it's clear that it's going to be something that the basketball program in particular is going to take a lot of advantage of, and they're just going to – everybody's learning on the fly, but, Kentucky is going to do what they can to make sure that, people know, recruits know in particular, that you can make some money off your own endorsements if you come here.
That's good stuff there, John. Appreciate that. We've been talking heavily about that for the past week or so because, like you said, it's coming up in 2 weeks. It's going to happen in six states across the country. And I guess something from the NCAA is better than nothing at all. So, we'll have to see, like you said, what that looks like. But it's good to see Kentucky specifically being proactive on this. John Heffern from the Courier Journal joining us. Before I get you out of here, John, I want to ask you a couple football questions. Are you surprised that a guy like Will Levis, who hasn't taken a snap at Kentucky, is now thought to be the favorite, or not, maybe not even the favorite, just the starter for the football team without any type of spring practice or competition with Joey Gatewood or Bo Allen. Are you shocked by that at all?
No, I mean, that's been my read on it since, you know, he signed with Kentucky. I will say, I mean, I think it's an interesting conversation to have for both sides in terms of, I think that it's pretty clear when Liam Cohen comes in, evaluates what he has on the roster, goes out and signs his own guy. Because, I mean, it's not like they had a shortage of bodies in the quarterback room right now.
Right.
And so he goes out and handpicks a transfer who's got a lot of experience at the highest level of college football to come in and play, who he has, you know, individual experience with. Liam actually recruited him a little bit to Maine when he was there at high school, and obviously Will Levis ended up being a much better prospect than Maine was going to land. So it didn't go very far, but he knew him from that time. So to go out and add him himself, I think that was a pretty clear, you know, statement on what the status in the quarterback room is. That does not mean that they don't think that Joey Gatewood and Bo Allen can still develop into really good quarterbacks. But basically the way it was explained to me behind the scenes a little bit is coming out of, you know, in January, February when this was all going on, if Bo Allen and Joey Gatewood were ready to be to win games in the SEC right now, they would have beat out Terry Wilson last year. I mean, we all know that Terry struggled mightily right at that position. They didn't have any sort of passing game. Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw knew their jobs were on the line. It's not like they were going to keep throwing Terry Wilson out there if they thought they had a better option at quarterback
who 100% could, you know, establish with you there.
A passing
yes.
game. And so I think that's why Levis has been painted as that picture. Now, the question is, how much ground did Joey Gatewood in particular make up with spring? I think everything from, you know, that we've heard is positive. He made a lot of strides there. I don't think Will Levis is going to be handed the job right away, but assuming everything goes to plan this summer, he's on campus now, he's, you know, doing all these, you know, off-season workouts, you know, getting guys together and throwing and catching and doing all those things, mm-hmm. the progress, you know, keeps moving in that linear progression, I definitely still put him as the favorite. I don't think they're going to name a guy until, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the season or the camp, because, you know, he's got to still learn the playbook. He's got to go through, you know, all the actually get out on the field and, sure. and earn the job.
Compete, yeah.
But I do think it's fair to say he's definitely the heavy favorite right now.
Yeah, yeah. I just find the whole thing fascinating. I mean, you know, fans were so excited about Joey Gatewood coming in because of his high school accolades. You know, didn't win the job with Bo Nix, but he certainly looks the part. He just looks like a dude, and we're expecting him to start. And then Will Levis swoops in, and it'll be interesting. I mean, what it's not Kentucky football unless there's a quarterback competition at summer camp, right, John? So, hey, John, what you got anything coming up on the Courier Journal here this weekend? Got any big stories you're working on? What do you have on tap?
Yeah, I mean, just this camp season with basketball is wrapping up. We're going to talk to Damian Collins tonight, Jen Coleman tomorrow. So maybe early next week, some more stuff in particular about this freshman class. I think it's a really interesting spot just because, you know, they're the lowest ranked class that Cal's ever signed here. And so what does that mean for what the expectations are? Because they still got two projected lottery picks of the three guys in the class, and then they brought in all these transfers. So they're in this weird kind of spot where, you know, they're still really highly touted players. They're going to have expectations to contribute from day one. But because they added all these transfer too, maybe the pressure is a little lower on them than the normal Kentucky freshman class. So I'm going to explore that a little bit early next week too.
All right, sounds good. And this is the last question for John Hale. Here's the total fanboy question, Kentucky fanboy question. You've been around the guys here at these satellite camps, going around with them. Who stands out? Who looks like, I know you haven't seen him really practice or play or anything, but who just passes the eye test? Like, you look on the court and you see Kentucky's team, and you look at him and say, that's going to be a dude. That guy looks like he's going to be a beast.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, Oscar Tshiebwe is not on campus yet, and so he's the guy who's probably the most physically impressive.
He's still in Congo, correct?
Yeah, he's visited his family there. I think my understanding is for the first time in maybe several years.
And right.
That's why he's been pretty slow getting back. And so I think he would be the answer to that question if we had seen him, but we haven't. The guy that has impressed me a lot that we hadn't seen is, sure, I mean, we've seen some before, is Jacob Toppin. I mean, he looks physically like a guy who could really contribute.
They say he grew again, John.
He does appear to have grown.
Yeah, he grew
it's
again.
Really hard to. It's really hard to make that case because we didn't – I mean, honestly, I didn't see Jacob Toppin within 20 feet all last year.
because everything was Zoom.
We didn't have the in-person interviews, and right. we were up in the upper arena even at in-person or at home games. And so I don't quite know specifically how much he's grown, but he certainly looks like a player just physically, who I think it's definitely important not to forget about him when we're having these conversations about, you know, lineups and rotations and all that. I think he's going to be an important piece this year.
All right, John, appreciate the time. Look for his stuff on the Courier Journal. Have a great weekend. Thanks again for joining us. We'll catch up down the road.
Thanks for having me.
All right, John Hale from the Courier Journal. Got a little clarification there, Mitch, on the name, image, and likeness stuff.
Gas bags. We don't know anything. We got to get respected journalists like John Hale to explain stuff to us.
I mean, I had no idea that there was actual, like, maybe legislation moving forward in the NCAA that could come as soon as July. Now, Mitch is locked in right now on soccer. He's watching this England-Scotland match. He's mad. His best not going to hit because England, yellow card. They're frauds every year. That's what we're saying off the air. And I know jack bleep about soccer. I don't know anything about soccer. But there's one thing I know is that England's always overhyped. I remember when Wayne Rooney was on there. Wayne Rooney, the GOAT. They're going to make a real run at the World Cup. Here come the Brits. And they fell on their face. England's supposed to be this big soccer country where it's great. You know, great soccer. It's a big soccer country. They always stink in these national events.
Keep talking trash about them because we need something good to happen to. So keep talking trash about them. I need them to score.
They all stink. Everybody on that team, they stink. They're terrible. Hopefully that reverses the curse and they score for you. All right, 437-9680. We're going to take a U.S. Open update here shortly. Let me catch up on a few texts here before we do that.
We already
that.
Took one, so we'll just take a quick break.
All right, let's do that. Let's take a quick break. On the other end, we'll catch up on some texts. I have a severe Wheeler and a Jared West question for you, young Mitchell Hannigan. We'll talk about that and more after the break. This is The Take with James Triebel, Mitchell Hannigan, ESPN 680, 105.7.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for The Take with James Striebel.
I'm not spreading COVID. I'm spreading vetoes. I'm spreading vetoes everywhere.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right. Back at it. I don't know how you're listening to me, either via radio or via stream, but I prefer the stream option. That's a good thing because stream ESPN Louisville anywhere in the world at ESPNLouisville.com, the ESPN Louisville app, TuneIn, iHeart, and more. I favor the ESPN Louisville app. I throw that bad boy on, click 93.9 or click 680 and go from there. If you're looking for a job, UPS Jobs, they've got you. To address a competitive hiring climate in the Louisville area, UPS will offer a retention and attendance bonus to 2021. Starting pay is $14.50 per hour. Employees on select shifts will also receive an additional $300 per week for an attendance bonus and $125 on Sunday through Thursday shifts. That's $425 in weekly bonuses for select shifts. Learn how you can graduate debt-free. Visit UPSJobsKY.com. Again, UPSJobsKY.com for more information. All right. This is The Take. So, Mitch, what we're going to do here, we're going to go over the top of the hour, hit the sounder, and just go right on to the mixtape as I feel like what we're going to do here probably. So, before we do that, let's get some texts. They're coming in fast and furious, 437-9680. Texter says this is in reference to the Dante Allen discussion that we just had with John Hale for the Courier Journal. How do you shove a kid out that single-handedly won a game after Cal was ejected? Is exactly why Reed Shepard should look at someplace other than Kentucky. Look, I don't know what the right answer to that is. I don't think anyone's shoving him out, but Calipari got caught without enough players last year. It was a disaster. They only won 9 games. As far as Reed Shepard's concerned, there is a little Reed Shepard news. Did you hear the Reed Shepard news, Mitch?
Yeah, apparently there's some big tournament going on here in the state of Kentucky.
That and Jack Pilgrim from KSR tweeted that Orlando Antigua has indeed been in contact with Reed Shepard. So all the Kentucky fans that are worried that Reed won't get an offer from Kentucky, it does feel like and look like there is some movement in that area. They haven't offered him, but they are in contact with him. And Louisville fans that are banking on a Reed Shepard player in a cardinal red uniform, might want to hold off on that wish a little bit yet. Again, I'm not a big Reed Shepherd guy, but I know that it's important to the fan base for some reason. Texter says, late to the party this week. Did Big Rig give Sweeney COVID or what? No, Andy has a family issue that he's dealing with right now, so he'll be back on Monday. I've only been solo. Well, I wasn't solo yesterday. I had Ethan Moore in here with me yesterday. I am solo in here with Mitch today. But no, Andy's good. He will be back on Monday, raring to go. You know that he's going to have takes of whatever happens over the weekend. Texter says, did I miss the Brooks v. Bryson take from Big Rig? What is this? Am I missing something?
What? No, you said you had a Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka take.
Thank you for reminding me.
After that, we'll do another Father's Day tip.
Okay, we'll do another Father's Day tip after that. But no, I think that the entire Brooks Koepka Bryson DeChambeau feud is manufactured. I think it's BS. I don't think it's real.
And don't follow golf at all.
I do follow. I saw the latest update today. There was a video bombing. He popped up behind him in the video. He bombed him in the video. All we're seeing is just one guy's giving an interview. The other guy comes up behind the interview, makes a face, and walks away. And the other guy then makes a face. I think it's all BS. I think it's an entire conspiracy.
It's very much real.
It's to drum up interest in golf. That's all it is. Because Phil Mickelson, and he's whining about people taking his picture on the golf course. He ain't winning the U.S. Open. There's no Tiger. They're trying everything they can to get people interested in golf. These guys don't. If they really hated each other, there'd be more than just photo bombing, interview bombing. It's all BS. I don't believe it at all. I think it's a fake rivalry. Listen, it's not real.
I like Brooks Koepka a lot. He's probably one of my.
I like both guys.
You can't like both.
Why can't you like both? Because Bryson DeChambeau's jacked. He's a big jacked guy hitting the ball like Happy Gilmore.
Bryson DeChambeau's a fraud. Yeah, he is. Every tournament he won the U.S. Open last year,
right?
And he hasn't done anything since then.
Well, what's Brooks Koepka done?
Brooks is the man. Brooks is the man of the people.
He's got a hot girlfriend. I know that.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Brooks can be like me sometimes. He can get a little moody.
Mm-hmm.
He's been moody with some other players, but the player he's most normally moody with is Bryson DeChambeau. And he really took issue with his pace of play because it is awful.
Please.
It is awful. And Bryson DeChambeau is a science guy, and that's probably why you like him. He believes in science and all these analytics.
I do like that, but I also like the fact that he's jacked and just smacks the ball.
Protein shakes before he tees off, the rivalry is very real.
No,
trust me, it is real.
Unless I see a fist fight,
well, they're not gonna fist fight.
Shouting match
off the tour,
shouting match or something more tangible than walking.
What's wrong
up
with taking shots at each other in the media?
People do that all the time. I take shots at Blankenbaker all the time. It doesn't mean there's like a real feud. It's a feud, but it's not like this big thing. It's so fake. And this isn't like Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas. That was a feud. That the New York Patrick Ewing and the entire Bulls team. That was a feud. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. That was a feud. Those guys hated each other. I don't buy it. It's got to have something more than just they walk up in each other's shots and smirk. It's fraudulent. It's absolutely fraudulent. And all it is trying to a look at me moment for golf because no one's paying attention and nobody cares as we take the U.S. Open updates throughout the entire show. So that's just my take on it. That's my take. Now, do you want to do another Father's Day tip?
Let's do it.
Hey, Daddy.
This Sunday is Father's Day, and our very own James Strebel, Round Daddy,
what's up, Big Daddy,
explains what dads across the nation should expect on their special day.
Good times. And I got to go to Kohl's yesterday.
Going to Kohl's isn't on my list, but maybe it should be. No, you know what is on my list? Big time grill session, baby. A lot of you dads are going to be getting these new smokers and these new grills for Father's Day, and you're itching to try them out. So hopefully you've already gone to the butcher, you've already bought your cuts for the weekend, and your wife and your kids, they say, you know what? let Daddy have some Daddy time as he sits on the deck or sits in the driveway or wherever you prefer to do your grilling. And he's got his Bluetooth radio on. He's got some crispy tunes. He's got some cold beverages. And Dad just sits back and lets the grill do the work for him. That's what I'm talking about. That's what your boy here is going to be doing on Sunday. You damn right. The grill's going to be popping. The beers are going to be popping. The 80s rock's going to be blasting. I'm going to have my sunglasses on. I'm going to be chilling in a Hawaiian shirt. You feel me? That's what I'm talking about. Big time grill action going on Sunday, Father's Day. Dad, get it done. And you know what? People are like, well, Dad shouldn't have to make his own meal. You know what? I like grilling my own meat, damn it. I don't.
That's what I was going to say. You come across a person who doesn't want to do anything.
That's one thing I want to do on Father's Day. I want to sit on my deck and I want to grill and I want to drink. That's what I want to do, damn it. I'm making my own dinner. My wife can, she can, you know, she can offer, but I'll politely decline and say, honey, I got this. This is what dads do. Let me go. And you better believe I'm going to get those nice Dad 3000 New Balances. Hopefully that'll be in my Father's Day stocking as well. All right, so that's another.
Your Father's Day stocking?
Yeah, that's another. That's another Father's Day tip from Big Rig Round Daddy. Texture says, 4379680, he's been coming in with some pretty funny ones. Texture says, he doesn't believe the feud, but believes UFOs and Bigfoot.
That's where I'm at.
Yes. I believe that. Well, yeah, I could start a whole new conspiracy thing right now with this Kepka DeChambeau thing. That could be another conspiracy. And by the way, you know what I should have done? I should have had you make a list of conspiracies and see if I like how many of them I believe. We totally dropped the ball on that today. Today would have been the perfect day to do that. We did that a little bit earlier in the week, but today would have been a really good day to get a whole list. Texture says, I'm a Brooks fan. I said DeChambeau hasn't
that's
won
me any. Oh, responding that's you. To the texture. No, yeah, DeChambeau hasn't done anything. He's won one major and hasn't done anything. Brooks is my guy.
DeChambeau,
yeah, that's who he is. He's like plus five right now. I mean, come on.
I love it. I love it. Texture says, I agree with you on Bryson, but Koepka is a jackass. I think he's kind of a jackass. I think so, too.
They're both jackasses. Brooks is just the nice kind of jackass. He's the jackass you want to hang out with.
Yeah, I could see his jackassery, like, rubbing people wrong and, you know, wanting to...
DeChambeau's the annoying jackass. See, that has to make everything about him.
I think he'd be more fun. I think if you got a lot of beer or alcohol in Bryson DeChambeau, he'll start, like, crushing cans on his heads and, like, picking up an axe and starting to chop down trees and stuff like that.
No, he's definitely... one of those weird jock dudes. I don't know how to explain him. I just don't like him.
Okay. Texture says, South End dads wear the Nike Monarchs in the East Ends wear the puffy New Balances. Huh. Well, I'm a South End guy, so maybe I need to get the Nike Monarchs. Texture says, happy Father's Day, Big Rig, went from one dad to another. Happy Father's Day to you, too. Round Daddy, around Father, do you still think UK football is winning the East? No, I don't pick them to win the East. I haven't picked them to win the East. I'm going to pick them to go 6-6 or 7-5. That's it. That's my prediction. Last text before we hit the open here and do a break. Texture says, does James sniff? Does James sniff his Father's Day stockings? Yes.